This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Hey, Diamond Hogs Podcast listeners, Mason Choate here with Robert Stewart. Need to let everybody know that if you want to listen to the podcast, all you have to do is search Hogbeat Podcast Network wherever you get your podcast, and that's where you will find all of the latest Diamond Hogs Podcast episodes. We made the switch, I think last year it was. So if you just search Hogbeat Podcast Network, you will find the podcast. If you search Diamond Hogs Podcast, you're going to get our old stuff back from 2022. So Hogbeat Podcast Network, it's HAWGBEAT.com. Robert.
And also, if you're looking to watch the video version of this podcast on YouTube, don't search it on YouTube. Look on hogbeat.com, as Mason just mentioned. You'll find it there. We unlist them. We mark them as unlisted because, ads, revenue, not important stuff. But bottom line is, if you're looking to watch the video version, go to hogbeat.com. The links are always posted there. You will always be able to find them. Again, HAWGBEAT.com.
Yes, Robert had it. That's the key word, HAWGBEAT.com, hogbeat.com. Search it anywhere. When you're getting your podcast, Hogbeat. When you're searching the YouTube, Hogbeat. Just go to Hogbeat and you will find it there, hogbeat.com. That's what it is. That's where you find all of our stuff. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, and I am joined, as always, by Robert Stewart. And we have a wonderful episode for you today. A little bit outside of the box, we have Stu Hogg. You might know him from his YouTube channel where he posts Arkansas baseball highlights. And look, we're trying to do things a little bit differently. Just, you know, you don't want to do the same thing over and over again. An incredible interview with Stu Hogg. We've already done it. It's, you know, great. One of our favorite interviews, just a great guy. He does it for free. He just does it because he likes Arkansas baseball. And so I think that his story deserves to be heard. And it's a great story. And he's just a good guy, man. It was fun. We went like 40 minutes.
It's also the first time we've had two Stewarts on the show. So big accomplishment in the 4-year history of the Diamond Hogs Podcast.
Yeah, no. See, here's the thing. You keep bringing up this storyline of two Stewarts and just like, even when we were off air and like I wasn't doing the shtick and everything, it wasn't cool. And it's just still, I mean, like you guys have the same last name, but it's still a common last name.
Yeah.
If his last name was the same as my last name, then that would be cool. You know,
look, I want you to take an even bigger lap the first time we have another Choate on the show. Okay.
I do think it's maybe Nevada's head coach for football. His name is Jeff Choate, and that's my father's name as well. So my dad is the head coach of Nevada football.
There you go. You learn something new every day.
All right. Anyways, your Razorbacks are ranked number 2 in the nation, and they have a 10-2 record after a midweek win over the Central Arkansas Bears. Shout out the Conway boys for scoring more runs on your Razorbacks than any other team to date this season. Who would have guessed?
Your Razorbacks. You sound like John Williams at the ballpark.
Yes, your Razorbacks.
You sounded like somebody else there. Anyway, this Central Arkansas team, it was a scrappy bunch for sure. We talked about it. I think it was our first recap of the year. We were watching the end of an LSU Central Arkansas game as we were wrapping up a recording. And there were a couple 1-run, 2-run games in Baton Rouge that weekend. 2-run game in Fayetteville. I kind of feel like the 7 they put up was fluky because of that crazy hit by pitch in the face that happened. But scrappy club for sure. You know, they proved that without a doubt.
You might have it readily available, Robert. I don't remember the name of the guy who got hit, but I do remember Bubba Carpenter saying that he was okay.
That's good. Yeah, it was the catcher, local guy from Farmington, I believe, Casey Shipley.
Okay. I don't know exactly what happened. I don't remember if he has a concussion for sure or not. I doubt many people listening to this really care. Not that it's not a big deal for the kid, but like nobody really knows who he is probably. Anyways, I think he's okay. So that's good.
That is the best news we could hope for because it was ugly. You hate to see a guy go down and then immediately head to the dugout.
You do hate to see that, but we let's keep it moving here on the Diamond Hogs Podcast, though, because we have a lot to get to, as always. Look, we always got a lot to get to on this dang podcast, Robert. But the first thing I need you to do is I need you to visit hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com, the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. Look, man, I'm the owner of it. I'm the publisher. Robert used to write for it. Even though he's not there, we still have a great staff. Riley McFerrin, Daniel Fair, Jackson Collier, Michael Main, Will Whitson, a lot of great people doing a lot of great work. And spring football has started. So if you want the scoop on what's going on at Arkansas football practice, we're going to be there every single practice, and we'll have that for you on top of all the baseball stuff. Monday, we were at Swatters Club, and we talked to DVH. Good stuff. Robert, what do you have?
I heard there was a familiar face at Razorback football practice recently. The football fans might be into that.
Austin Ledbetter?
Yes, that's exactly who I was thinking.
Honestly, that was the first name that came to my head, but I think you're talking about Bobby Petrino. Is that who you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about Austin Ledbetter.
Oh, were you actually talking about Austin Ledbetter? You were talking about Petrino? Okay. But yeah, Ledbetter was there, you know, throwing some seeds, some darts. Anyways, visit hogbeat.com, and we'll let you know what fifth-string quarterback Austin Ledbetter is doing for the Arkansas football team.
Hey, fifth-string quarterback, Golden Spikes, one and the same.
Yeah. You know, look, best decision for him probably. So shout-out Austin Ledbetter, former Diamond Hog. But yes, hogbeat.com, also Bet Saracen, the official mobile sports gambling partner of hogbeat.com and the mobile sports gambling app of the Saracen Casino Resort. Download it today where you get your apps, the double R props. I was looking at them before we recorded, Robert, which I don't know if I've ever done that. So shout out me. That's huge. But there were a few of these props that I liked, and I'm trying to figure out which one it was that I liked the most. I think it was this one, Peyton Holt. No, not Peyton Holt. I didn't want the Peyton Holt one. Maybe it was – oh, here we go, Diggs. Kendall Diggs to have half a hit, over half a walk, and over half an RBI plus 160. Kendall Diggs has always been an on-base guy. It's easy for him to draw walks. And if he gets a hit, there's a good shot he might be driving in a run with it.
Yeah, I feel like part of the reason he's been so quiet this year is because he's drawn so many walks. Let me see if I've got the numbers handy here. He's got 12 walks to 6 strikeouts, and he's sitting at a crisp 491 OBP. So that's, what, 12 games, 12 walks?
Yeah. How many runs has he driven in?
Kendall Diggs, I got 8 here.
Okay, so what does that rank on the team? Probably third behind Jason Jones?
Third to Jones and McLaughlin.
Okay. Yeah, not bad.
Eva Aloy.
Yeah. So good for Kendall Diggs. I think if I was going to take one, I would take that, but gamble responsibly, not guaranteeing a winner. So bet Saracen, get those double R player props. The only place you're going to get them is in the state of Arkansas and on the Bet Saracen app. So download it today. Okay, Robert, the big news entering this weekend's series against McNeese State, before we get to our UCA recap, is that there will be a doubleheader on Saturday. And you asked before we started recording, is it a straight? Let's go ahead and say it. Yes, straight. Starts at noon. First pitch is noon for the first game. 45 minutes in between games. Both games set to be 9-inning games. Obviously, I'm going to assume that the run rule will be in effect all weekend, meaning like if the first game Arkansas is up by 10 in the seventh, the game will be called after 7 innings. So simple as that.
And by the way, run rule watch entirely in play this weekend. I've got the stats against their series opening season opening series. There we go. Against Texas A&M, they were outscored 31-1, got run ruled once, and I think lost by 9 another game. So not faring well against SEC competition so far this young season.
No, but A&M is a good team, and you know the other thing about McNeese State, yes, they got swept by A&M to start. They started 0-4. This year. They started the year 0-4, but they've won 8 of their last 9. So
the hot ball club for sure.
And it is a hot ball club.
They've got some fascinating stat lines on both sides of things. So we'll hop into that soon.
So let's before we get into that, let's talk about your 10-2, number 2, Arkansas Razorbacks got the win over UCA on Tuesday evening. The Central Arkansas boys, the Conway boys. Colin Fisher got the start for Arkansas. 3 innings, gave up 2 earned runs on 4 hits, no walks, 4 strikeouts. Really the first time that Colin Fisher has kind of looked human, Robert.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he looked good to start and then sort of let it get away from him. you know, the three consecutive singles in the second that happens, whatever. You know, it was good for him to at least go 1-2-3 in the first. But I thought the more concerning thing was that he didn't seem to have the breaking ball. He hit a couple guys back to back in the third, and that, you know, he did minimize the damage at that point. He only gave up one run in that inning, but he left losing. Well, he walked off the mound for the last time, losing 2-0. His bats picked him up in the bottom of the third. But yeah, he did look more human than he has to this point.
So let's talk about that bottom of the third, because that was a pretty notable inning for Arkansas, not only because the Razorbacks scored seven runs, seven big ones on two swings, but so you had the grand slam from Vahiva Aloy, and it had just been a matter of time. Look, we talked to Dave at Swatters Club on Monday, and I honestly want to pull up the quotes, because even Dave was saying before Vahiva hit this grand slam on Tuesday against UCA, Dave was like, look, this dude is, because I wrote it in my notebook that Aloy was pressing too much. DVA said he was pressing more than anybody on the team. He hit two balls really hard over the weekend, one that would have gone over the seats in left field if the wind didn't push it. A guy who couldn't catch a break. And then DVA said he's got that Hawaiian laid back, don't worry attitude. I coach him every day and we talk about surfing. We don't talk about baseball. Same with Hagen Smith. They talk about surfing, they don't talk about baseball. And sure enough, he goes out and hits a grand slam in the bottom of the third. And then what, three batters later, Ben McLaughlin, three run bomb
to center. Yep.
Two 400 plus foot homers that just were absolutely demolished.
Yeah, what was the distance on Aloy? Was it 440? Did I hear that right?
It was 440 plus for sure. I want to say it was 442 maybe.
I think that's what I heard. Yeah. Okay. And let's not forget that he almost went yard the other way in the first inning too. I mean, he missed the opposite field shot by inches, right?
He did.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like Dave said, he hit a lot of balls hard last weekend. Some bad luck, you know. What was reported on over the offseason about how he was raking, it wasn't an accident. You finally saw it with that swing. And then, yeah, like you said, Ben McLaughlin following it up, notching his first tater of the year. Again, seven runs on two hits. It was a case of take what they give you and, you know, let the big bats bop.
You know, that's the thing about this Arkansas lineup is they still haven't pieced it together. You know, even though they had those two big swings, which were literally two big swings that, you know, probably won them the game, honestly. I mean, definitely won them the game. Let's be real here. But the fact that they're able to take care of or take advantage of mistakes to this point in the season, we're 12 games in, you're 10-2. But DVH has talked about these games that they're fortunate to win. Yes, you're fortunate to win, and yes, the opponent handed you things, but at the same time, not always does a team take advantage of those things handed to them, and Arkansas is doing that.
Right, they're not squandering the opportunities. You know, it felt like they kind of were against JMU, and, you know, maybe you saw it a little bit against Oklahoma State and Michigan too, but since they left Arlington, it feels like they've done a better job of getting those runs across, right? Yeah, I mean, the runs that weren't home runs that scored, four walks and an error, right? You know, obviously you have to work your walks. You know, I don't remember how particularly competitive they were, if they were at all, but, you know, you still got to stand up there and take four balls, right? And, you know, well, okay, I say an error. This was like the ball that Nolan Souza hit like 104 miles an hour. We have had a lot of off the record discussions about how generous the scorer is at Arkansas home games. And I was shocked to learn that he didn't give that one a hit. Anyway, you know, reached on an error, scored on an error. It worked out for the Hogs.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, they had seven hits in this game and they scored nine runs. You know, they were 4-12 with runners on. I think if you look at the stats for runners in scoring position, I'd have to go back and look, but they only had, you know, either four or six at bats with runners in scoring position in that game. So
and they delivered two huge swings when they needed to. So like,
Yeah, they did, but also, you know, took advantage of UGA handing them opportunities in the bottom of the third. You look past the bottom of the third, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. I mean, this dude, Gavin Alvetti, was dealing for UCA.
He was, man. His windup was funky. The submarine sidewinding type deal. Hogs better hope they don't run into any of those kind of arms in the SEC. The broadcast kept mentioning that he and Gage Wood grew up playing ball together. In Searcy, maybe? I think he said Alvetti was from Searcy.
I mean, like, look, dude, when they play for it's UCA, so there's a ton of kids, you know, in-state kids on that team.
I saw a lot of Northwest Arkansas towns, Bentonville, Rogers, Farmington, etc.
You know, there's a ton of great you know, just baseball talent in the state. That's what a lot of people don't realize, how good of a state of high school baseball talent Arkansas is. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, but he yeah, this guy Gavin Alvetti for UCA, 4 2/3. The four it feels like the four earned runs he gave up were a little deceiving, right? Because he was very impressive after he gave up that home run to McLaughlin. He got two outs, was out of the third, gave up an infield hit the next inning, walk to start the fifth, but got a double play, 1 2 3 in the sixth, and then he went. I mean, how long did he go until the
He went 4 2/3. He went through the
he went
eighth.
into the eighth.
Yeah.
He gave up two knocks to start the eighth. But then, those guys ended up scoring. So
Oh, right. Okay. They, yeah.
that's where the four runs come from. But yeah, I mean, he looked really good. And again, his stat line's not going to indicate it at all. 4 2/3, 5 hits, 4 runs, all earned, 2 walks and 3 strikeouts. So nothing like would tell you that he was good based on that, right? But the 4 2/3, like the middle parts of the 4 2/3 were really, really strong and effective. And it allowed UCA to get within what a run.
So through that whole time that the Arkansas lineup was just not doing anything, the Hogs were trotting out quite a few different arms, including Cooper Dossett, who, like Colin Fisher, looked human for the first time this season.
Yes, and again, like Colin Fisher in that very game, started off with a 1 2 3 frame, right? He looked really strong, ground out, strikeout. And then he walks the leadoff guy, gets himself into trouble. If I'm looking at this right, the fifth inning, and then he hit Shipley. That was the thing that really sent things astray, right? Because, and you know what I remember about that at bat? I remember watching it. There were two strikes, and I don't know if you had a TrackMan strike zone readily available to you, but it looked like Blue was having a tough day. And I really think he missed a third strike call to Shipley before he got hit in the head. And maybe Dossett stays in the game. Maybe that inning doesn't get out of hand. Maybe Cody Frank doesn't have to come in and pitch with two runners on base, right? I don't want to put an injury on an umpire, but like, ah, man, I really felt like there should have been a third strike call there. And I can sit here and say this, but also like you have to be able to roll with the punches, right? And I'm sure that's the sentiment that Dave expressed, right? Cody Frank in particular, right? You're 24 years old, you've been around college baseball for a long time. That's a situation where, they need you to be the firefighter. He didn't have it.
Yeah, you know, Dave was actually asked on Monday at the Squatters Club about the way the strike zone has been all year, because there's been multiple games this year where definitely, you know, you look back to the Oklahoma State game for sure, like the strike zone, the game was determined by the strike zone in that game, 110,000%.
It could have been over 5 innings earlier.
Yeah, and so Dave basically was like, yeah, it is what it is. They're calling, you know, higher strikes. They're calling a little bit of a tighter zone when the game is closer. It's just, it is what it is. And so you just got to be able to adjust to it there. But the thing that I have noticed is, even when, you know, maybe they're calling pitches strikes that are not strikes, you know, the zone is not great, it has been consistent, I feel like, all year. It's either consistently outside, or it's consistently high, or is consistently inside. If you can have consistency, we say this all the time in baseball, everybody agrees. If you can have consistency, I can deal with it. It's when you're inconsistent, I cannot.
Right. And Drew Sturgeon, the center fielder for the Bears, may beg to differ with you because he got really stuck out of luck on a brutal third strike call that was, you know, inches away from the dirt.
It was definitely not.
Anyway, yes, it at least be consistently wrong if you're going to be wrong about it. And again, the strike zone in particular, it's been inconsistent because umpires are human for years, right? You do have to be able to deal with that. And, you know, you think about what Kevin Bohannon told us when we had him on earlier in the season with as it relates to like the pitch clock and you got to be back in the box by a certain number of seconds, right? Calling automatic strikes and balls, stuff like that. It takes some getting used to. And, you know, maybe the Hogs will turn it around. But yeah, it was just sort of a freak play that, you know, hopefully something like that doesn't happen again and throw a wrench in a game again.
Okay, so where are we at in the game?
Top five. So Shipley gets hit. Frank comes in, gives up a couple of RBI knocks. Sac fly, another RBI knock. So four consecutive run scoring at-bats for Bear hitters, and all of a sudden it's 7-6. So this game is just very much close for too close for comfort if you're Arkansas and you got an arm on the mound who you can't seem to solve. But it wasn't Cody Frank who had it. Enter Gage Wood. He delivers.
Gage Wood had one inning, scoreless, walked one, struck out one, faced more than the minimum, one more than the minimum, excuse me. Yes, that was a good bounce back outing for Gage Wood after he struggled over the weekend.
And then how about the four strikeout performance in one inning of work from Stone Hewlett?
Yes, four strikeouts because he had a drop third strike where the batter reached and then got another strikeout.
It's not the first bonus strikeout we've seen for an Arkansas pitcher this year. I believe Mason Molina had the first, but it is the first time you got four in an inning.
Yep. And then Gabe Yackel closed it down, man. I don't know if he's your closer yet, but I think he's probably, you know, your top candidate right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a million times before about how Dave's reluctant to name a closer, right? But he's, you know, what he's proven as a freshman in this young season is that he's definitely the leader in the clubhouse for that role. If anybody's going to lock it down, it would likely be him, it seems.
That is correct. I will say Arkansas did play two runs in the bottom of the eighth. Did they get any hits in that inning? Maybe I think they had a
single. Yeah, they got those two knocks against what's his name, Alvetti, before they chased him.
Right.
And then Hunter Alexander came on, got a strikeout, hit a batter. Peyton Holtz. Am I reading this right? Oh, wild pitch. The strikeout, Jason Jones struck out, but it was a wild pitch. And the first run came around to score. Peyton Holt gets a knock, and then Hudson White drives another in on a sac fly.
And your Arkansas Razorbacks win the game.
Well, they did give up one in the ninth. That's why you had those insurance runs, right?
I will say, actually, it does matter because I thought Cooper Dossett was going to blow it there in the top of the ninth.
Gabe Yackel.
Or Gabe Yackel, excuse me, I'm so sorry. They did have, I believe, a couple more arms warming up. Do you remember exactly who was warming up? I think Faherty was warming up.
Faherty and somebody else, I can't remember who it was. I definitely remember hearing Faherty's
name. Dylan Carter was warming up. Yes, that's who we need to talk about. It's another thing, Dylan Carter. So, yes, Arkansas gets the win over UCA 9-7 and 10-2. So, you know, perfect segue. Dylan Carter nearing a return to the mound for Arkansas after suffering a torn UCL on May 3rd of last year. Incredible turnaround for him. DVH said he's about 10 months out from Tommy John. Normally they say 9 to 14, and it's on the backside of that as far as recovery time. and he's just accelerated everything. His velo is up to 95 on the fastball. I mean, can you believe that from Dylan Carter, man?
I believe it when I see it. Like, no disrespect to Dylan Carter, but you know, I'm just super cautious about these injuries, man. Like, and it's not to say that it can't be done before, right? Like, look at Bryce Harper. I can't remember if it was the 21 or 22 postseason, but as soon as the Phillies are out, he gets Tommy John, and then he's back in the lineup the next spring. Like, granted, he's not a pitcher, and so he's not having to and they move him to first base, so he doesn't have to throw as often, right? But he's not having to exert all that energy. Still, anything less than a year, it makes me nervous. But if the reports are true, and you know, of course, I wouldn't project Dave Van Horn as a man who would go out there and send an injured player out before he's ready to go, right? You know, he's been around the game long enough to know that you really have to be careful with these UCLs in particular. But if he's truly ready, let me see it, man. I'm ready.
Okay. I'd like to see it. Just another pitcher to add to this arsenal for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Without a doubt. They're already just so deep, and to add a proven guy with SEC innings under his belt already would be huge.
He's not the only one either, man. Look, they might add. They're gonna add left-handed freshman Hunter Dietz pretty soon, and Dietz is really high on him. Doesn't have the SEC innings that you're talking about, but another arm that they could get. Peyton Stovall nearing a return, hopefully by next weekend against Missouri. That's what they're hoping for. I feel like we should, real quick, before we get to bold predictions for the weekend and then Stu Hawk, real quick, I feel like we have to mention Nolan Souza on the podcast, dude. I mean, just like the way that he continues to play, DVH spoke very highly of him on Monday. I'm continued to be impressed with him. I asked Dave, like, does your decision become more difficult because now you have Peyton Holt, Peyton Stovall, and Nolan Souza at second base? And he was basically like, it's not, you know, like maybe it stinks because I have to like sit a guy who probably deserves to play, but it doesn't stink that I have three guys who could start at second base.
That's like the textbook example of a good problem to have.
Yeah, it is. It's a good problem to have, but like, I don't want to be the guy writing the lineup card for this team, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, some guys are, you know, might get their feelings hurt. I'm not going to say are, but you would hope that the locker room has got some thick skin in it, and you know, they recognize that whoever's swinging the hottest bat, or even if that's not what it is, if whatever Dave Van Horn's writing on the lineup card, you know, he's in year 22. Hopefully, you trust him to do the right thing, right?
I would hope so. All right, before we get to our bold predictions for the weekend, I want to remind you about hogbeat.com. That is HAWGBEAT.com, the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. If you just go to hogbeat.com, look, I know you're listening to this podcast first thing on Friday morning. I know you are, because you're a loyal listener of the Diamond Hogs podcast, and only the loyal listeners of the Diamond Hogs podcast listen through the ad reads, and so that's why you're here right now. And if you are listening, you can go to hogbeat.com and find Arkansas practice reports from Arkansas spring football practice. And also, you're going to find all the intel on the Arkansas baseball and basketball teams as well. Visit hogbeat.com. We got a ton of free content. As I mentioned on the podcast plenty of times, we put the same effort and amount of work into the free content that we put into some of the premium content. Obviously, the premium content is going to feature more work and more in-depth work, but it's still the same quality. It's all incredible content at hogbeat.com. And you know what else is incredible? That is the Bet Saracen app, Robert. I use it myself. I use it personally. And hypothetically, if I was to use it to bet on Arkansas baseball, look, I'd be in the green by a lot this season. Because if you're an Arkansas baseball fan or just a college baseball fan in general, you can really take advantage early in the season. And so that's what you can do. If you get on those double R props for Arkansas baseball, you can only get them on the Bet Saracen app. I mentioned earlier, the Kendall Diggs prop is the one that I like for the first game, Arkansas-McNeese State. That's the one that I like, not guaranteeing that it's going to be a winner, What I can guarantee is that if you call 1-800-GAMBLER, you're going to get help with your problem. So call 1-800-GAMBLER and you will get help if you have a problem. So thank you to Bet Saracen and thank you to hogbeat.com. Robert, do you have your bold predictions ready?
Bold predictions ready.
We should mention that my bold prediction last weekend was literally a game off.
What did you say? Two home runs?
I said two, but he hit a grand slam. That's basically two home runs.
He hit a grand slam and he was inches away, and that was, you know, in the span of one game. So I'll give you a half seal of approval there.
All right, let's go.
Okay. I mean, let's stick with it. I'll say Vahiva Aloy leads the squad in hits this weekend.
Okay. Don't think it's super bold after the guy just hit a grand slam in the midweek, but
well, but that was his only hit of the game. Like he's okay, and you can make the argument that because we've talked about it, he's hitting the ball hard, it's not that bold, but he's not seeing the hits come in bunches. This is the weekend the hits are gonna come in bunches.
Okay. Man, pressure's on now. Where does Mason go with his bold prediction?
Perhaps the mound.
You know, I was thinking about it. I was thinking Hagen Smith's going to have another 15-plus strikeout performance.
on a extended rest situation?
Look, dude, here's the thing about Hagen, though. Hagen's the ultimate competitor, and we get that from Dave all the time that, you know, rarely does Dave talk about a guy's practice habits, and he talks about Hagen's practice habits. And so I feel like if anybody's going to be ready and fired up to go on Saturday morning, Hagen's going to be like, dude, I was ready to pitch at 3 on Friday. Let's get this freaking thing going.
Yeah. I heard Brett Dolan say on the broadcast of the UCA game that Brady Tigert said he's Paul Skenes 2.0.
If he's Paul Skenes 2.0, he will have 15 strikeouts this weekend.
That's true. I mean, he's not throwing 100 like Skenes is doing. By the way,
he is throwing 100. What are you talking about? Okay. Yes, he is.
Excuse me, 102.
He's not throwing 102 in the seventh inning, you know.
Skenes topped out at 102 this spring, which is crazy, and is taking like 13 miles an hour off for the off-speed stuff. But anyway, that's beside the point. He is having, so far, the strikeout numbers. Actually, that's a good project for our next episode. Compare Paul Skenes' first several outings to Hagen Smith's in terms of number of strikeouts.
That is actually a great project.
23 Skenes versus 24 Smith. Let's track this.
I'm down.
Speaking of things that I said I was going to track, I want to bring this up from the first episode when we had Bobby Wernis on. He mentioned that he wanted to have the sixth inning be like a big deal, right? Because of Bobby Chicken. It's not happening at all. They went off one game in the JMU series and have not scored a run in any other sixth inning at home. I didn't count the Arlington games.
I don't know. I will say the Bobby Chicken has not been super impressive this year. Like you've barely been able to hear it. It's still non-conference play.
Yeah, I mean we'll see what happens come SEC time.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to our interview with Stu Hogg.
The Diamond Hogs podcast is the premier Razorback baseball podcast.
We now welcome on Corey Stewart. You might know him better as Stu Hogg for his YouTube page where he posts Arkansas baseball highlights. Corey, you're past 9,000 subscribers. When did that happen?
Just recently, a few weeks ago. It's funny. I always, my subscriber its count stays so consistent in the off season, and then I get these little spikes between like March and May, and then it just levels off. But yeah, it's 9,000. I'm hoping to get to 10,000 this year. That's my goal.
Corey, since I've left Northwest Arkansas, is it nice for you to be like the most prominent steward in Arkansas media again?
Yeah, it's people don't come up to me on the street and confuse me with you anymore. It's nice. If I hear Stewart, I can turn around and I know that they're mad at me, not you.
Nah, I mean, like, look, nobody was calling out Robert on the street. Let's just be honest here. So first of all, let's get this out of the way. I would much rather call you Stu Hogg for the rest of the interview. Is that okay?
That's fine with me. I can change my name in the Zoom chat if it makes you feel better.
No, you're good. So For the people who don't know, basically what you do, you just post highlights of Arkansas baseball games. And I guess the best way to do it would be just, I'm going to let you give your pitch, your elevator pitch, whatever it is, just like sell people on your channel before we start, just so people know exactly what you do.
Yeah. So basically what my goal is to take the entire baseball game, 3 hour, 4 hour baseball game, and cut it up into a 10 to 12 minute video to where if you watch that video, you understand everything that happened that game. You can see everybody who pitched. You see every hit, every run that was scored for both teams. Sometimes I'll even include things that aren't really highlights, but kind of tell that story of the game. You know, if there was like a big injury or something, I'll make sure to include that. I want to, you know, especially with baseball, there's so many games and they're so long. And especially early in the year in these midweeks, people are at work whenever these games are going on. So I just want to make sure that people can stay up to date on everything that's going on. They can stay informed, but not have to take, you know, 3-4 hours out of their week, out of their day every week, you know, to do that. I want to make it easier for them.
What does a typical Razorback baseball game day look like for you? Like, I think you've described it to us, maybe in Omaha before, but like, tell everybody. I'm you know, I need a refresher too.
It's actually changed a lot for me over the years. So I started my channel in 2018 with opening weekend that year. And at that time, I was still a student at the U of A. And so I was attending like every game that I could. And so I would go and I would watch the game. And then that night I would go to my building on campus and I would basically just go through and clip every play that I wanted to include in the video. And I would get it done, you know, sometime that night. Lately I've gotten a lot of competition, which is maybe something we can talk about, but there's a lot more channels right now nationally that will put highlights of every game, including Arkansas games. And I've found that really my only shot at getting my view numbers up compared to theirs is to get in quickly. Cause then I'll kind of catch the algorithm just right. My video will be shown to more people. So now I'm editing during the game. It hurts my ability to be in Balm Walker, which that sucks a little bit, but I've gotten to a pretty good groove where, you know, the last two games, I think I was about 15 minutes after the final pitch. I had my video up, and I've seen that helps a lot with the views.
So you're not making any money from this though, because like you don't own the rights to ESPN broadcasts.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they own all the footage. ESPN. I am thankful that they even allow me to do this though. You know, there's other services that stream baseball games time to time that don't allow it. I've tried one time with highlights of a early season non-conference tournament and had a strike on my channel, which, you know, if you know, you're not familiar with the YouTube copyright system, you can't really play around with strikes. You get three of those on your channel and the whole thing's deactivated. All your videos are gone. So luckily with ESPN games, they're really cool about it. You know, they'll put a claim on the video. If you've ever seen an ad trying to watch one of my videos, that's not me. I don't make any money off that. It goes through some system somewhere and probably ends up in ESPN's pocket in some way. I don't know exactly how it works on, you know, on that side of it. But yeah, for me, it's a hobby. I do it for myself, really. I like to go back and watch old highlight videos. So yeah, no, it's not a cash cow for me, but I still enjoy doing it.
So it's not a cash cow. It's not a labor, or it is a labor of love. Obviously with the rights, you dealt with the strike, you said. What other challenges do you face when you're compiling these videos? Like, you know, so I'm sure some games are, you know, there's not enough material, some games there's too much. How does that work?
Yeah. Honestly, my biggest technical challenges in the past have been just with like my equipment, the way I edit these videos, the way I get the footage for it. When I was starting out, you know, I was on like this little cheap laptop and I had like hardly enough RAM to even load Google Chrome, much less record these videos in high quality. So if you ever go back and watch, you know, some of like my first videos, the quality is terrible. They sound awful. There's like weird buffering glitches inside there. The resolution goes down randomly. But you know, it's been, gosh, it's been this year 7 of doing it. And, you know, I've upgraded some tech specs. I've gotten better and I've kind of learned what works and what to avoid. So I've really locked that down. Every once in a while, I'll have, you mentioned the struggles. I'll have like a good highlight that gets ruined by the camera crew or something, or the announcers. You know, they're like showing some ad for some, you know, thing coming up on TV, and then they cut to someone rounding first, going to second. And I have no idea what happened. And then that lives in the video forever. Stuff like that happens, but it's pretty rare.
You know, when you're saying all this and you talk about your early videos, I've probably watched almost every Stu Hog video there is. One, because I enjoy it, but two, when I'm going through for my countdown, I mean, like, there's only so many guys that wear specific jerseys, and sometimes you got to dig deep through, like, mm-hmm. the midweek film to try to find some random guy who wore, like, number, I don't know, 44 or whatever. And I just for example, and so, like, I've definitely seen your channel be able to grow from what it was to where it is, and it's awesome. I, you know, I love that you're posting like individual player highlights as well. You just got Matt Goodhart up, friend of the program. Mm-hmm. But take me back to 2018 though. What, I mean, cause you know, like for Robert and I, we're like, okay, we're sports guys. Let's go write about sports. For you, you're like, I'm going to make highlight videos. How did that happen?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, probably unsurprising to anyone who watches Razorback highlight videos on YouTube, a huge inspiration was War Machine. You know, for years I was watching his football and basketball highlights. And I always, you know, I wish he did baseball, like, you know, I'm sure everyone else did too. I remember, you know how you like sometimes people will have like that weird perception of like, time where like you hear that like Anne Frank and Martin Luther King Jr. were born in the same year and you're like, what, that doesn't sound right. I had that with Razorback sports. So I would watch like football highlights of you know, Ryan Mallett and Joe Adams in 2010 and 2011, those years, and it seems so recent. And like my memories of those games were so much better. My memories of being in the stadium watching those games live were heightened because every year, every 6 months since they happened, I would go back and watch the highlights. I would think back to like the 2015 College World Series run, which was so much more recent. And it felt like ancient history because I saw it happen live and then I never saw it again. And I wanted to basically be the one to step up and be like, all right, I'll do it myself. And, you know, I mentioned it earlier about like not making money off of it, but I would make these videos even if I didn't post them to YouTube. You know, I would make them just for myself because I wanted that, you know, those memories. I wanted to sustain them. And if I'm doing it, you know, I might as well post it. And I had no idea how quickly they would catch on that first year. It probably helped that the 1 year I started doing it, they had like the best season ever to that point, and almost won a national title. I just started doing it. It caught on, you know, there was clearly a market for it. Probably more than I should. I take a ton of credit for the college baseball highlight scene on YouTube, even nationally, because that first year, no one did it. There were none of these national channels. No highlights existed of college baseball anywhere. And my videos for that College World Series run in 18 completely blew up, way beyond just the Razorback fan base. And my channel in 2019 was actually my highest viewed year so far. Even, you know, even if with every year since, nothing has touched 2019. And I think that's because I kind of built that following and no one else really existed out there. And so when people just searched for college baseball highlights, I was like the first channel that came up. And now it's hard for me to even find like all the Razorback fans, because I feel like so many of them in, you know, their YouTube recommendations, if they don't already know about me, they're not really going to find me. But yeah, I feel like I lost your question completely. But
well, that I like where you went with it, because one, it reminds me of Robert and I in this podcast, and just like, you know, we were calling for like 2 hours after games, and we were like, let's just record this and just post it as a podcast. But also, you know, I like what you said with the games and making you remember stuff, but also I can definitely notice, or if you just go on YouTube, you can tell there's like a cutoff date of like when college baseball highlights were started to like really get uploaded to YouTube. Cause like I said, when I'm going back and looking for stuff, you can't find it, not just from you, but you know, I can't go back and find every single College World Series game from 2009 on YouTube. It's just not there.
Yeah.
And so, and you can even see, like, there are sometimes I'll look up Arkansas baseball games, and sometimes it's a Stew Hog one at the top. But more recently, with some of the more recent games, it's like Wheels at the top. And Wheels is like the big one I know. Who are some other big competitors you have?
That's really the main one. And he's been going really, I mean, ever since I've started seeing other channels. Every once in a while, I'll see a video of a Razorback game from some channel that I'm seeing for the first time. And you know, they have the same problem I do. You know, they can't really get going because Wheels takes all the audience for them too. And you know, with Wheels, it's like, it's crazy how much he puts out. I don't know. I assume it's like one guy. I don't know if he has other people helping him edit, but I mean, it's crazy the content he's churning out. I mean, he's got to be editing like 10 games a day, you know, at the peak of the season. That has to be just all he does.
Yeah. Going back to what you said about, you know, doing it for yourself. It reminds me, like, I always had people tell me like, you should keep a journal so you can like go back and read it later. Right? It's just like the video form of that. Do you have like a single favorite game to go back and watch?
I have a few.
Multiple answers is okay here.
Yeah. I might go by year. I might have like one for each year. I feel like for 2018, probably that Florida game in the College World Series to send them to the finals. That was such a good game. Isaiah Campbell was lights out. I think Casey Martin scored their first three runs every time he came to the plate.
That was the Casey Martin jersey gift.
Yeah.
I think.
It was. Yeah. That was my first video that I experienced going viral. And it was completely out of the blue. It happened like in the middle of the off season that next year. I mean, it was like probably December, January. So it was maybe getting close to college baseball hype ramping up. But like one night, I like went to bed and woke up the next morning, and the view count from that point, which were already like 6 months after the game actually was played, the view count like doubled. And then the next day it doubled again, and it just hit this crazy spike. And I don't know why still, you know, YouTube, the algorithm is such a mystery to me, and I've kind of tried to understand it, but it seems so random how things will just be bombarded on people out of nowhere.
I think I and this is my theory, because I've noticed this sometimes with some stories that we have, or maybe even a YouTube video. It will do better numbers when a person or a website or a story that's doing good numbers links your YouTube video in it. So, for example, Andrew Hutchinson of Best of Arkansas Sports, great journalist. You know, look, reality of the situation is their number does decent, or their website does decent numbers. When we were in Arlington, he wasn't down there. He couldn't post the Dave Van Horn postgame press conferences. We were down there. We posted them. He would link them in his stories. They did better numbers than our normal press conferences. So maybe it's something as simple as somebody out there is linking Stew Hog videos on their website that is driving a lot of traffic.
Which I've actually, so YouTube gives analytics for a lot of different stuff with your videos, including if anyone is linked to it from an external website, you can see what website it was linked from. And so I used to do that a lot. I would go through my videos and I would see where traffic is coming from. And if it were like some message board, like some like Baltimore Orioles message board, and I was like, oh, I just got a random dump of views from this message board. And then I would go like try to find the post And it's like, oh, hey, we just drafted this guy named Heston Kerstad. Here's some of his highlights. And so that was always fun. It was like a little internet scavenger hunt for me, trying to find where people are finding my channel from.
No, that's actually really smart because, sorry to interrupt you, Robert. Really smart because, you know, even with recruiting for like football and basketball, when you got like a big time prospect, like last year for Arkansas's Pro Day, Drew Sanders, we made a video just for Drew Sanders because it's like whoever drafts him, they're going to want to go watch that highlight of Drew Sanders. So same concept, like Hagan Smith, you better have a Hagan Smith highlight video as soon as the season's over.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I'll have to remember that one.
It's funny that you bring up Heston Kerstad in Baltimore because I remember what Mason, we were freshmen in college when that draft happened, and I at the time I was writing for a sports blog in Maryland, even though I am not from Maryland and hate that state very much. Anyway, the MLB draft happens, Baltimore takes Kerstad, and I was naturally the perfect person to write that story for them, so that was fun. Anyway, a quick aside. I feel like I've hung out with you more away from Fayetteville than in Fayetteville. Obviously, Omaha in 2022, and then we saw each other in Athens last spring for the Georgia series. You know, we don't have to talk about how that series went, but I'm curious, where is, I guess, the best, maybe Omaha's the easy answer here, but where's the best place you've seen the Hogs play on the road?
I really haven't seen them play that many places at all. I mean, to be honest, I think I've seen them at Baum in Omaha and then in Athens for that one series, which the only reason I was there is because I lived in Greenville, South Carolina for 9 months and just happened to be in the area where they were playing a series. So I went down there. But yeah, I've never been in any of the other SEC ballparks, and I've never gone to Arlington. I've never gone to like a Stillwater regional or anything like that. So yeah, it's got to be Baum then.
There you go. That's a good answer. We got to get Stu Hogg credentialed in Arlington next year. Give him a little studio to clip during the game and be at the game.
Yeah, I honestly, yeah. I'm shocked that you haven't been to Arlington. That's crazy that you have not done that. Have you been down for an Arkansas A&M football game though?
Yeah, a few times. Okay. Yeah. It's just, you know, for me, even I guess Arlington's different because I don't normally make highlights for those games. But a lot of time it's tough for me to want to travel because it completely derails my highlighting schedule. You know, I can't edit. I can't record the games. I can't have them up quickly. Even that Omaha trip, I was struggling. I brought a laptop, but, you know, my workstation is my desktop computer at home. So I was like trying to find workarounds. I had like a remote desktop through my laptop connecting to my desktop, but that didn't really work. So yeah, it's a lot of times it hurts because I want to be there. I want to go to games. I love going to games. But for YouTube purposes, it's better if I'm at home.
You're a man of the people.
So, Stu Hogg, this is probably going to be my last question. For you, it seems like you've kind of, you know, gone into a little bit of the statistical realm. You seem to be a numbers guy. I've seen you put out some good stats, not just Arkansas baseball, but, you know, some other sports, basketball. I think you do some football stuff too. Is that just like, you know, you're just curious and you do a deep dive and then you're like, okay, well, let me post this? Or is that like, you know, a hobby of yours too? You like to look into the numbers?
Definitely. I mean, I'm a data analyst by trade. I mean, that's what I do with my actual career. I graduated from the U of A a few years ago in industrial engineering, and I had a minor in data analytics. And comparing that with, you know, my love of sports, my whole life I've been doing that. You know, it's one of my favorite things is to try to find some cool stat. I was at the LSU basketball game earlier this week, and like the last 3 minutes of the game, I was kind of on my phone the whole time because I was like, had this cool idea for a stat, and I was like trying to research and find it. So yeah, I do that. I love doing it. I do the same thing with like YouTube. I would do that even if I didn't like post it on Twitter. I would do it just for my own education and interest in finding this stuff.
All right, I'll wrap it up here. Being the Arkansas fan you are, here's a hypothetical for you. Draw up your perfect path to a national title for the Diamond Hogs. Who does it run through? Does it run through Baum somewhere else? You know, who do they beat in the final, stuff like that?
Ooh, it's hard to say it runs through anywhere other than Baum. So at least until you get to Omaha, it's got to stay here. It's always fun when there's like a spicy super regional matchup. A lot of times you get that with like conference opponents that maybe, you know, they didn't host and they won as a two seed and came over here. In Omaha, I feel like, you know, ever since 2021, there has been this looming idea that at one day there's going to be a giant matchup between Arkansas and Tennessee where it means, you know, there are serious national title implications. So I feel like, especially with those fan bases, if they ever met in a College World Series final, that Omaha might not recover. They might need to like temporarily relocate the College World Series the following year because they're it's going to take some time to rebuild, I think, no matter which way it goes.
I have a friend from home who went to Ole Miss, and he won't shut up about breaking the Jello shot record. And then I met somebody from LSU a couple weeks ago, and he did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Arkansas and Tennessee together in the final together. Oh my goodness.
I don't know, man. I feel like LSU kind of, you know, I don't know if you're going to break what they did last year.
I know, but the back and forth between Arkansas and Tennessee.
Yeah,
who was LSU's competition? Like, they just did it to do it, right? Like,
they did, but they just like blew the Ole Miss number out of the water, and it's not even. I don't even know. I don't remember what the number is, but it's not even close.
Yeah,
it was a stupid number.
At some point, there's going to be diminishing returns on that because, I mean, it just mathematically, with how many people there, with how many days are there, it's a set number of time. Like, there's only so much Jello you can buy. I mean, you reach a limit.
Yeah. I think, you know, at least it's for a good cause. I think Rocco's Pizza donates that money. So
yeah, to the campus's food pantries, or at least that's the way it was with the U of A in 2022.
Okay.
22.
Stewhog, I lied. I have two more questions for you.
Classic Mason.
my first one is, so you only post videos of games that Arkansas wins, correct?
That used to be correct.
Okay. You do all of them now.
Luckily there haven't been many opportunities so far this year. But other than their loss in Arlington, they've lost one game that I've been able to publish highlights for. And I did. And my plan is to continue doing that.
Murray State game too.
Yeah. It's okay. Up there. It's my least viewed video this year, but it's up there.
I mean, 8.9K is pretty good. So, what's the thought process behind that? Why are you doing those now?
Kind of, you know, with what I started with my overall goal, I felt like I was limiting people the opportunity to follow along with the season and really stay up to speed with everything if I were only posting wins. You know, and that might, there's probably going to be some ugly comment sections on some of those videos. I'll leave them on and we'll see where they go. I think it really tells the story better, and you can go back, and especially with like really tense weekends that maybe go 2 out of 3 and there's a rubber match on Sunday. It's really nice if you ever want to go back, be able to see, you know, the good and the bad. The one before this year, I had only posted a video of a Razorback loss one time, and it was the 2021 Tennessee series, that game 2, where they hit the walk-off home run. I posted that. I waited until Arkansas won game 3 to post it. But I did post it just because that was such a good series. All 3 games were so tight. And then that ending, even though it hurt, you know, watching it, as a baseball fan, I can admit, like, that was an amazing experience just to see. And so I wanted to keep that, you know, on record on my channel. But also there's another aspect to why I'm doing the losses as well. And it's with my current project of going through and making a lot of player highlight videos. With my current selection and how I've done things, I can only really make player highlight videos using highlights from the wins. So if a guy hit a monster home run, you know, or a grand slam or made some crazy play in the field, but it was in a loss and it happened 5 years ago, I don't have that footage, not readily available where I can go and put it into a player highlight video. So I'm kind of setting myself up for success more down the line because I'll have more to choose from. Because I really want to start building out a catalog of all these guys that have come through the program and guys that are, you know, yet to come through. I want to make sure, you know, they're getting their spotlight as well. I want to make sure, because we've had so much talent, right? I want to make sure that, like we're talking about with guys getting drafted, that, you know, there's a video that MLB fans who just drafted, you know, this Razorback, they can go back and they can see, you know, the best of what he had to offer in his time here.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned those losses of games where guys played well. I mean, you guys were both at the Georgia series last year. Caleb Cowley hit two home runs in that game that they lost 9-8. So
I talked to Caleb Cowley for 30 seconds. He was like, yeah, I don't care that I hit two home runs.
So, like, yeah, no, that's – I'm glad that you're doing that, Stu Hogg. And look, we – you know, we're guilty. We need to start retweeting you more. We need to let the people know about Stu Hogg. Screw Wheels. This Wheels guy is the worst, dude. What is this guy's problem? He's taking views away from the little guy. Not that you're the little guy, but look, he's doing the whole country. You're just doing Arkansas. Maybe Wheels could just stop doing Arkansas and let Stu Hogg have it.
Hey, I'm all for that. I will say I had one interaction with a commenter on one of my videos one time where I felt a sense of pride over Wheels, and it was the Nebraska final of the 2021 regional, Charlie Welch's home run. And I was at that game. That was one where I said, sorry, guys, I got to be there in person. I got to experience this. And I'm glad I did. But when I finally posted that video that night, I got a comment that said, all it said was, Wheels beat you. And I just replied, yeah, Wheels wasn't at the game. Yeah. And I felt like I will take that. I will take the experience I had that night over getting the video up, you know, a couple hours earlier any day.
Yeah, 100%.
This is my last thing. And because Stu Hogg, I want you to be here for this. Robert, what are you doing?
That's your third question. Sorry.
This is not a question. This is an exercise. And it includes you, Robert.
Okay, all right.
Robert, I want you to do this because Stu Hogg probably knows. What do you think Stu Hogg's second most viewed video of all time is? Well, this you're never going to guess it. It's the first one is that Arkansas-Florida game that we talked about earlier from the
series.
I do know this, by the way.
You're never going to guess it.
what's the sense of me trying then? What is it?
Well, I want you to try. That's the sense.
Okay.
Just guess one game.
Arkansas NC State game one, Super Regional 2021.
Nope. Arkansas versus Pine Bluff game two, 2021. 528,000 views. What the heck?
That video was my best thumbnail work of all time. I think that's the only reason why that video popped off so much. And it's also one of the only times I've ever featured an opposing player in the thumbnail.
Okay. That
was it, Mason?
No. I will say that's another thing about your channel is that your thumbnail game is strong. Like I take pride in my post game press conference thumbnail game, but your highlight video thumbnail game is strong. Are you keeping an eye out during games for good moments?
That's easily the most stressful part of the whole operation for me. Through when I'm watching the game, and you know, I'll usually watch like the first half, maybe the first six innings, just casually. And then once I hit that, you know, start of the seventh inning, that's when I start editing to make sure it's done on time. But the whole time I am glued to the screen, trying to find the right little capture, the right still, cause you know, I like to inject a little bit of humor in my thumbnails a lot of the times. If there's kind of a funny face that gets caught, and that UAPB video is a great example of it. You know, a guy, I think he had just given up like back-to-back homers and he just turns around and shrugs. And I mean, I feel like that perfectly encapsulates that, how that game went. But yeah, I'm constantly trying to find the right thumbnail, and the best experience ever is when I find it in like the bottom of the first inning. And then I know I can just relax the rest of the way.
Dude,
you should definitely feel some pride in Mason noticing your thumbnail game, because I promise you he's so meticulous about it.
I love the thumbnails, and I do appreciate your thumbnail game. And here's the thing, we can work together on this, because look, we're all watching the games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying attention to the good moments, and I'm trying to find them myself. So if I see one, I'm gonna hit you up and let you know from now on. Okay. I'm gonna try my best to remember.
I appreciate that. That means a lot. Because okay. Otherwise it's just me trying to catch it and then write down the time code of when it happened and then hoping I go back. So yeah, that'll take a load off.
Okay.
Help me in that effort too.
Yes, it's a team effort. At all listeners of the Diamond Hog podcast, you have two pieces of homework from this episode. One, you got to hit up Stu Hog with funny moments from games. And two, you just got to subscribe and start retweeting when he posts the links for the videos. That's what we got to do, okay? All right.
That's the game.
Stu Hog, we appreciate you, man. You're a recurring guest now, so we got to have you on more often. This was fun. And look, we appreciate everything you do, because I wouldn't be able to do my countdown. I wouldn't be able to just like turn on. Most of the time when Robert and I are recording the podcast, I turn on Stu Hog highlights. I'm like, hold on, let me turn on Stu Hog real quick.
Okay, so that's what those spikes in my analytics were. I know when you guys are filming, because I was just sudden random views.
Yeah. Yep. So, but yeah, we appreciate your time, man, and look forward to watching your videos. Hopefully three. Well, it is going to be three because win loss, but hopefully three wins this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks, guys, for having me on. This was absolutely fun.
The Diamond Hogs podcast is the premier Razorback baseball podcast.
Big thanks to Stu Hog for joining us on the Diamond Hogs podcast. Just a great conversation with him. Look, we mentioned it at the beginning of the episode, but it's a little bit outside the box. Some of you might have been like, who the heck is this guy? But I hope that you enjoyed the interview. I hope that you learned something. And I hope that you're able to support him moving forward.
Appreciate the people who grow the game, man. I like what he's doing.
So let's talk about this weekend before we let you guys on your way. As we mentioned, no longer a game on Friday. If you show up to Baumwalker Stadium on Friday, you will be alone, aside from any other fans who show up there thinking that there's still a game on Friday as well. Doubleheader on Saturday. First game, 12 p.m. All games this weekend, SEC Network Plus. So the first game Saturday, 12 p.m. Second game, 45 minutes after the conclusion of the first game. And then Sunday they will play at 1 p.m. We will have our Diamond Hogs podcast series recap on Monday. We will have post-game coverage, live coverage, all of the coverage on hogbeat.com. And as you will hear from the voiceover guy here after this episode, you can follow us on Twitter, or actually just follow me on Twitter, because Robert just does not do anything on Twitter anymore. And I will keep you updated on the Arkansas baseball team. Anything to add, Robert, before we get out of here?
Yes, one more thing. Public service announcement. Sunday, daylight saving time. How exciting is that? I'm excited for it.
That's how you're going to close the podcast.
Look, it means you have to wait one fewer hour between games on Saturday and Sunday.
I'm so upset right now. We had a great episode and you just ruined it.
Look, man. You will have a smile on your face when it's not dark at 7 o'clock next week.
I'll have a smile on my face if the Arkansas Razorbacks win three games this weekend against McNeese State. Thank you for listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Thank you to Robert Stewart. Thank you to Corey Stewart. Thank you to you for listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Choate Mason and at DRStew32.